The news is live on Joy 89.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, and Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, Spaces, and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Max, Takoradi, ATL FM, in Cape Coast, Volta Premier Hall, Radio Justice, Tamale, Jakpa FM, Bupe, KTU Radio, Koforidua Sky, Sunyani, and Dreams FM, Bolgatanga, also Radio Max, Takoradi. This afternoon, the Court of Appeal acquits and discharges embattled former Maslok CEO Sadina Tamaklu Ationu, overturning her 10-year prison sentence after ruling that the prosecution failed to prove the case beyond reasonable doubt.
Charge sheet, which founded the allegations against her, were defective, and so same could not have, founded the whole process.
We have details as counsel for the former CEO welcomes the court decision. Also this afternoon, as Ghana prepares for another election cycle, Joy News is intensifying its campaign against vote buying, one of the greatest threats to free and fair elections. We are in hope for our project. Our democracy is not for sale, while residents share their experiences and views. Also, as some BEC candidates check the results in haste and with excitement, more than 2,000 other candidates may have to wait till the 31st of August to know, as their results withheld for further scrutiny. We'll hear from the examination body. And this afternoon, AU High Representative for Silence in the Guns, Dr. Mohammed Ibn Chambers, calls for a rethink of Ghana's education system, arguing that quality education is one of the country's strongest tools for preventing conflict.
Where young people lack opportunities for quality education, the forces of division and conflict found fertile ground.
Also coming up this afternoon,
he's our most revered man of God, and whether they like it or not, we'll continue with the funeral.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Kojo Safo's funeral underway under heavy security, as some church members express excitement. Well, also in the National Science and Maths quiz, one twin battled on the NSMQ stage while the other watched from the stands as Nyakrum Senior High Technical School sealed a historic second qualification to the 2026 championship.
She does everything for me. So this winning is not by myself. It's by my God and my sister who has helped.
I was motivating her not to be scared, to answer any question that will be given to her.
We'll bring you details of these and more with me, Mamiesi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible journalism. Do stay for details. We start from the courts. The Court of Appeal has acquitted and discharged former Chief Executive Officer of the Microfinance and Small Loan Centre, Maslok, Sadina Tamaklu Ationu, quashing the 10-year prison sentence imposed by the Financial and Economic Division of the Accra High Court. In a dramatic ruling delivered today, the appellate court held that the evidence presented by the prosecution failed to establish the charges against her beyond reasonable doubt. The decision follows an appeal filed by a legal team challenging the 2024 judgment of the High Court, arguing that the charges were fundamentally defective and that the conviction could not be sustained. A three-member panel of the Court of Appeal, presided over by Justice Emmanuel Ankama, unanimously overturned the decision of the High Court. We'll get the very latest from court and speak to court correspondent Fatah Bayaga. But first, let's listen to the counsel for Sadina Ationu.
As you may already know, the judgment will be ready by close of today. And so, we'll all pick it up and then read it. and then we can do thorough, discussion on SIM. However, the crux of what Milord said today is that Sedinam, my client, is indeed acquitted and discharged, and that the charge sheet which founded the allegations against her were defective, and so SIM could not have founded the whole process or the entire process. Mm-hmm. The foundation was weak, then everything that follows will fall.
Well, he also has been explaining when a Sedina will be released from prison custody.
We'll have to take the necessary steps and then bring the judgment to the attention of the Republic. Yeah, and then she will be released from prison.
So based on the step, when do you think that she'll be out of prison?
So, like I just said, we've just applied. In fact, we are applying for the copy, a certified copy, and then we'll take the necessary steps. So, from my end, I would wish that she's even out now. Mm. But of course, these things, there are procedural steps to take. So we'll ensure that we do everything today and then as much as possible. Before the week ends, we anticipate that she should be out.
Meanwhile, private legal practitioner Justice Abdullahi says this judgment feeds the suspicion of those who raise concerns about her return.
This really raises a lot of questions about what happened in the past and what we are witnessing today. A lot of questions come up, but these questions are questions that we may not be able to completely come to a conclusive pronouncement on, considering that we do not have the basis of the decision of the court to acquit and discharge. But it does raise a number of questions. It does satisfy mischief makers and the naysayers who felt that everything that happened was a pure charade to do the bidding and to literally free her. In fact, if you remember, even after the time that Sedinam was returned to the jurisdiction, people raised a number of questions as to whether she was still in custody or not. Mm. And then came up almost simultaneously when she came, an appeal was lodged almost right in then. And within a record time, a decision has been made. So it tends to play into the trap of those who felt her return was a pure charade and not necessarily for a good reason.
Well, let's go on the phone lines and speak with my colleague Kwaku Asante, who is also a member of the Legal Affairs Desk, to tell us more about the written submissions of Sedina Ationu. Kwaku, what do we know?
Well, so the two grounds, there were in total about 9 grounds that the lawyers for Sedina Tamaklu filed. But if you really disaggregate them, it is mainly attacking the charge sheet that formed the basis of the prosecution. And if you look at the charge sheet, it was about 78 counts in total that Sedina Tamaklu and Daniel Azim were slapped with in the court. And then generally about 9 grounds of appeal. Like I said, conviction is unreasonable, but the charge sheet was incurably defective. And so the lawyers spilled a lot of ink attacking how the prosecution had framed the charge sheet and said that it lacked particulars that would have given Sedina Tamaklu to mount a robust defense against the charges. The rule is that the charge sheet must be clear enough and must inform the accused person of the nature of the charges against him or her so that that person can file an appeal or file a defense of their own. The argument of the lawyers for Sedina Tamaklu was that this was not done. And in fact, if you read the 74-page written submissions, they cite a plethora of cases where the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court had talked about how charges were to be framed and how substantial they go. And so if you listen to the lawyer for Sedina Tamaklu, this is really like a technical letter of the court. I'm at the risk of speaking ahead of reading the full judgment. If you listen just to the lawyer of Sedina Tamaklu, the Court of Appeal did a lot of work on the technical grounds and held that ultimately the charges being defective, then there was nothing to mount the entirety of the prosecution on, and that is why Ferdinand Tamaklo is working now. We are getting some indication, as has been confirmed, that by close of day today, we'll get to read a full opinion of the Court of Appeal, and perhaps the Attorney General will then decide whether he will file an appeal or this case ends here at the Court of Appeal.
All right, thank you very much, Kwekwa Santi, there, giving us updates on Ferdinand Tamaklo Atienu's acquittal. Now, moving on, the countdown to the Volta Regional edition of Joy News' Democracy is Not for Sale campaign is on. It happens this Friday in Hall, where the regional forum will bring together citizens, political actors, and key institutions to examine how vote buying and campaign financing are shaping democratic outcomes. Ahead of the engagement, a Joy News research team has been on ground in Hall, interacting with residents and gathering data to reflect citizens' perspectives on money in politics. Maxwell Aklobotu is a member of the research team, is on ground as we speak, and joins us with more on this. You've been on ground in Hall since Monday. Maxwell, what have you gathered so far from the team since you landed?
Yeah, Mamiesi, so we've been in the town, in the city since Monday, and then we've worked across several sectors of the city. We've been to markets, we've been to educational institutions, we've been to the various universities in the town, we've been to hospitals as well, where we spoke to some health practitioners, and we've also spoken to some drivers as well. In fact, if we meet you and then we find that you are of age eligible to actually vote, we engage you and then actually get your perception when it comes to democracy and then vote buying, Mamiesi.
Were there any surprising concerns or concerning parties that emerged from your engagement with residents?
Yeah, Mamiesi, when you actually take a critical look at the data that we have been collecting, there's a shocking pattern that is growing, which has to do with the Gen Zs. That is from people who are within the ages of 18 and 25 years. They are actually saying that when it comes to candidates giving them money in order for them to vote for them, they will actually take the money. Majority of them said they will take the money, but when it comes to exercising their franchise, they are not going to actually vote for them. Mamiesi, this and many other interesting stuff that will be revealing to you tomorrow, Mamiesi.
Right. And in what ways will your findings shape the tone and direction of discussions at the forum?
Yeah, Mamiesi, the survey will actually form the foundation of the discussions at tomorrow's forum, because the responses we gather will actually help us identify key issues and concerns that people have about vote buying and also vote selling. Since elections are ultimately driven by the choices or individual choices of people, we are understanding that their perceptions allows us to actually tailor our conversations when it comes to what actually reflects what the citizens actually think about this exercise, that vote buying, Mamiesi.
All right, Maxwell Aklobotu is a member of Joy News Research Team, and do make a date tomorrow, Friday, for more conversations on vote buying. Moving on, Africa Union High Representative for Silencing the Guns, Dr. Mohammed Ibn Chambers, is calling for a rethink of Ghana's education system, arguing that quality education is one of the country's strongest tools for preventing conflict. He says schools must produce innovators and ethical leaders, not just certificate holders. Dr. Chambers was speaking at the 150th anniversary lecture of Infant Pond School.
Where young people lack opportunities for quality education, meaningful employment, and civic participation, the forces of division and conflict found fertile ground. Because as the saying goes, the devil finds work for idle hands. Children should leave school not only with competence in mathematics, science and technology, or language, but also with the ability to resolve disagreements peacefully, respect diversity, reject violence, and appreciate the dignity of every human being.
Now, Ghana faces growing migration and foreign policy challenges as the global order shifts, with experts urging the country to strengthen its diplomacy and prepare for a more uncertain world. United Nations Special Representative to Libya, Her Excellency Hannah Tete, says rising geopolitical tensions and changing global alliances demand a rethink of how Ghana and Africa protect their interests. Deborah Enwabedu reports.
If this is the world we are moving into, where Ghana and Africa will stand in this multipolar dynamic will depend on the choices we make, the decisions we implement, and the effort we place in building an African multilateralism that reflects this reality and prepares us to face its challenges. I hope that as a country, we can reflect on the current developments and position ourselves to be able to better adapt to this situation and advance our interests towards a peaceful, stable, and prosperous country, notwithstanding the emerging headwinds and the uncertainty that comes in its wake. And let's hope that indeed we can do that. Thank you very much.
Now, some 2,722 candidates who sought for the BEC will not be seeing their results today, as many have been withheld by the West African Examinations Council for further scrutiny. The provisional results released yesterday indicated the students are from over 200 schools across the country. WAEC has released provisional results for the candidates who sat for the BEC and will hear from the examination bodies. But
saving money on everything for your next project now at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes. Whether you're pouring a walkway, concrete slab, or setting a post, we have the right product at the best price to complete your project. Shop our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's get more from the results that were released. My colleague Hannah Odami joins me with more on this. So, Hannah, how many students actually sat for the exam?
So, Mami, a total of 620,243 students sat for the BEC. So, this number comprises 304,415 males and 315,828 females. And they were from 20,789 schools. So, let me break down further. The examinations was conducted in over 2,000 centers across the country. Out of that number, we had 3,601 candidates being absent. Further, there was a total of candidates which had about 136 of them were visually impaired. 282 had hearing assessment needs. They needed that. And then 510 of these candidates with other test accommodation needs that they use to write the exams.
All right, and then tell us about the infractions WAEC is talking about.
Well, in a statement that they released, they indicated that investigations led to the discovery of a number of irregularities which occurred during the conduct of the exam and the marking of the scripts. Those that were discovered during the conduct of the exams. We reported a lot during the exam period, and we know that 496 candidates have their subject results cancelled, and then out of that, 105 candidates have their entire results cancelled, and then 48 candidates also have their results withheld, as you said earlier. Now, the subject results of over 2,000 candidates from the 2,229 schools have been withheld for further scrutiny, and they will get to know the outcome based on investigations by the end of next month, which is 31st of August.
And there's a strong warning from WAEC to parents and students. What are they saying?
Exactly. With this time, every parent is anxious, there's uncertainty, but the council is cautioning all stakeholders and parents to be wary of fraudsters who promise to upgrade results for a fee. Candidates are also to note that WAEC results are secured and can be authenticated. And that's coming from WAEC.
All right. Thank you, Hannah Odami, giving us updates on that BEC results. We're still trying to get access to Mr. John Kapi, who speaks for WAEC. But when we do that, we'll speak to him. Government says private sector investment is now critical to the survival of the Volta Aluminium Company, arguing that Valco's mounting debt and deteriorating operations make the current state-owned model unsustainable. The Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Emmanuel Amakufibua, says the company owes about $250 million to power producers, leaving government with little choice but to pursue strategic partnerships to revive the smelter. He insists that this does not amount to selling Valco, but rather securing the investment needed to restore its operations. Now, the minister made the remarks during an engagement with workers following concerns over government's plans for the state-owned company. Now, to the national science and maths quiz. Twin sisters Bridget and Brigitte Ejabing shared one dream but experienced the redefining moment from two different sides. We have details of this. Welcome back to the Midday News.
He's our most revered man of God, and whether they like it or not, we continue with the funeral.
Oh, yeah,
we haven't seen any injunction, so we'll continue with the funeral.
This afternoon, there is heavy security presence at the funeral grounds of the late Apostle Kojo Safo at Gomampota in the central region, as the final funeral rites continue despite a court injunction over the ceremony. Church members of the Christo Asafo Mission have expressed excitement as the final funeral rites of their late founder, Apostle Kojo Safo, officially begins at the Goma Central District of the Central Region. And joining me now is Kofi Ejei of our sister station at Dome FM. Kofi, you've been on the grounds. Tell us what's happening there now. Yeah, Kofi. So you tell us what's happening on the ground now.
A lot of people there are gathered here. About 2,000, 3,000 church members are here in their numbers to pay their last respects to the late Apostle Kojo Safo. As you can see, there are a lot of people here. And it defied the court in Ghana. A moment ago, daughters and sons of Apostle Kojo Safo just arrived at the scene to wave the church members and assure them that the funeral is ongoing. And it assured them that they will bury their father in a peaceful manner. So you can see there are a lot of people here, but we have not seen politicians here, maybe due to the injunction. So we have not seen politicians here, but just a moment ago, some Nananum sympathize with the public service. So about 10,000 to 4,000 church members are here at Kusua, Kusua, to pay their last respect to the late Apostle.
All right, so Kofi, have you seen Akofena there? And I know that this is Adjo Safo's, leading this delegation or this the organization of this funeral, but have you seen her brother?
Yeah, I've not seen Akofena here. I've not seen Adjo Safo also here, but we just saw about three of the other siblings. I saw one of the guys who just arrived at the scene. The church member.
All right, Kofi Ejei there reporting from Gomampota at the ceremony, the funeral ceremony of Apostle Kojo Safo. Now, Godwin was 12 years old, the best student in his class, but had never seen his hometown. A woman he was told to call Ante promised to take him there. Instead, led him onto a boat and disappeared. What followed was 3 years of forced labor on the Volta League. Adobe Asari and Stephen Mensah have more for you on World Day Against Trafficking in Persons.
First January, you start with Banco, you are ending with Banco. We eat rice 25th December. So if they start that 26th with Kokonte, that means you change it the next 26th December. If I'm saying Banco, it's not the Banco that you and I eat today. You are not allowed to use phone or anything that you use to communicate to anyone. If there's something happening and then you are not able to do it or you don't know how to do it, they don't teach you, but they'll use either the paddle or the rope in the canoe to lash you heavily or even throw you inside the dish and then drive away.
Trust. And according to Superintendent William Ayaraga of the Ghana Police Service, that is often where trafficking begins.
We rescued a victim from Wasa Abuoso, and medically the womb has been shifted or removed. And according to sources, she got pregnant and they gave her some concoction to abort it. And in the process, it destroyed her womb.
If you see their body marks with lashes, and then some of them, they still live with the scars, and it's heartbreaking at times.
Godwin's chance to escape came from an unexpected source, the boatmaster's son.
So he sent me with his phone that let me get him a credit from the next town. So I used that opportunity. I called back home the auntie that I was staying with.
Now to the National Science and Maths Quiz. Twin sisters, Bridget and Brigitta Ejabin, shared a dream but experienced a defining moment from two different sides of the National Science and Maths Quiz stage, as Nyakrum Senior High School secured only its second ever qualification to the 2026 National Science and Maths Quiz Championship. For the sisters, Nyakrum Senior High Technical School's victory was more than just a school achievement. It was a family moment written on the NSK MQ stage. Join us from Al Bashir reports.
It was a moment of jubilation for students of Nyakrum SHTS as they secured qualification for the 2026 National Science and Math Quiz Championship. For twins Bridget and Brigitta Ejabin, the victory was deeply personal. Brigitta helped secure the results from the contest stage, while Bridget followed every answer from the audience.
We are not offering the same course, but she's always by me, even when we are in training sessions and she's not having a class, she's by me. My sister is the one that helped me learn. Sometimes when our trainer is not around, she's by me. She asks me questions, she drills me, she does everything for me. So this winning is not by myself, it's by my God and my sister who has helped me to reach this far.
Bridget sat among the audience, following every question and every answer. She was not competing, but every tense moment on stage felt personal. Representing Nyakrum was Bridget, her twin sister. Bridget was called from the reserve bench and sent onto the stage. For the school, it was